الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. وبعد، dear respected brothers, sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. As it was announced last night and today as well before iftar, I mentioned, I am Muhammad ibn Adam with you, that tonight inshallah I hope to read through some of the pages of the book that we have been collectively studying throughout the month of Ramadan. And of course we are approaching the last few days, and hopefully by the end of Ramadan we want to finish and complete this book. Hence today's, and this tonight's actually, session will inshallah be dedicated to this book. And inshallah, as I normally teach, as we normally study collectively together, just before iftar, around 6:15, 6:30 every day, inshallah, we have an extra session tonight for an hour and a half or so, where I will try my best to go through some of the pages of this book, Min Adab al-Islam, from the manners of Islam, Islamic etiquettes and manners, written by the famous Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Just to mention that this is not going to be your normal evening show where you send in text messages and phone calls and texts are read on the air or anything like that. It's just a dars, a lesson, as I normally teach before iftar every day. So inshallah, we move on. If you remember, dear brothers and sisters, that in the previous lesson, in the previous session, which was actually today, just before iftar, in the brief session that we had, we talked about breaking unpleasant news. The Shaykh, the author of the book, discussed in detail the etiquettes and the rules of breaking, saddening, and breaking unpleasant news, conveying unpleasant news and message to someone. What are the etiquettes, what are the rules, and in what manner and what way do we convey news, unpleasant news, to someone who is afflicted? Now, connected to that is another topic, which is expressing one's condolences, which is connected to the previous session, which was breaking unpleasant news. This session and this the next discussion is regarding when a person passes away, what should be said, what should be done, what are the rules, what are the adab, what are the etiquettes, how do you express your condolences, how do you try to decrease the pain of those who are inflicted and afflicted with the trial, with the tribulation, specifically those who have lost a dear one to them, a close person to them. How do you express our condolences, inshallah? So that's what the next session is about, and then after that we move on to one or two other topics. So we will first read the text of the Arabic book, and then I will translate as I normally do, and then inshallah explain and elaborate on some of the issues. The Shaykh, the author of the book, Shaykh Abdul Fattah rahimahullah, he says, إذا أصيب قريب لك أو عزيز عليك بموت أحد من أسرته أو من يلوذ به أو يعز عليه فلا تنس تعزيته بمصابه ولا تبطئ بها وأظهر له المشاركة في أسائه وحزنه فإن ذلك من حق القرابة والصداقة والإسلام. He says that when someone close to you, when a dear one, when a person dear to you, a person close to you, or somebody related to you, is afflicted by the calamity or the difficulty or the trial of someone from his family dying, or someone from someone who he loves, or someone who is dear to him. What the Shaykh is saying here is that if someone who is your close friend, somebody who's your relative, someone who's dear and close to your heart, okay, somebody close to you, if they are afflicted by the death of someone, either by the death of someone in the family, like the father's passed away, the mother's died, for example, or their brother, sister, uncle, aunt, grandfather, grandparents, or not just someone from their family, but someone close to them, someone beloved to them, someone dear to them. So if the dear one to your dear one has passed away, in other words, do you understand? If someone dear to you, someone close to you, they have someone in their family or someone beloved and dear to them passing away, okay? Then the Shaykh says, do not forget to offer your condolences. Do not forget to do ta'ziyah, offer your condolences because of the musabihi, musab, because of the bereavement they are going through, because of the trial and tribulation they are facing. Now here we have a word called ta'ziyah, brothers and sisters. Ta'ziyah. Many of you may have heard this term, ta'ziyah in Arabic. Remember previously we talked about riyadatul marib, that's like visiting the ill and the sick. This is another Arabic term. It's an Arabic term. Many a time we use this like in other languages, but it's an Arabic term. Ta'ziyah. Ta, ayn, za, ya, and then a ta marbuta. Ta'ziyah. Ta'ziyatun. Okay, it's from the word, you know, like the hadith says that, or for example, it's from the word azza yu'azzi. Azza. The one who consoled. Okay? Consoling someone, expressing your condolences and consoling someone. So ta'ziyah is a sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It's a sunnah of Islam. It's a duty of a Muslim to share in the pain of your loved ones, to share the pain of your close family members, your relatives, and just generally all Muslims, right? I mean, when the Shaykh says here that when someone close to you or someone dear to you is afflicted by someone dying in their family, it's not just restricted to someone close to you. Rather, it's more general to the Muslims, people in your community, specifically those who are living in your community. They have a greater right that you offer your condolences, you console them at a very difficult time, you go and offer them your condolences, you share their pain as well, right? This is a very, very important sunnah and a duty and a responsibility of a Muslim. So the Shaykh says, do not forget to console them, do not forget to make ta'ziyah, do not forget to offer your condolences. And he says, do not be late. وَلَا تُبْ biha, don't be late. Like some people are very late, you know, then they say belated, whatever. There's no belated in Islam. You have to be quick, you have to haste, you have to be swift, right? You have to go as soon as possible. Not when everything's over and done and dusted with, and then after like 2 weeks you say, oh yeah, sorry, I heard your father passed away, I'm really sorry. Where had you gone for 2 weeks? So don't be late. And also the Shaykh says, express your participation in his or her grief, in his or her difficult time and situation. Well, huzni, huzni in Arabic means sadness and grief and sorrow. So also participate, show that you are concerned, that you also share that pain. This will, inshallah, what it will do, it will decrease, it will lessen the pain, it will decrease the hardship of that difficult situation. The Shaykh says, because ta'ziyah, why do we have to do that? Why do we have to console people and express our condolences? He said, because this is from the rights of closeness, of qaraba. It's from the rights of proximity and closeness and friendship and Islam. This is a right that comes, that becomes due because of three things. Because of qaraba, he has mentioned three things here. Qaraba, sadaqah, and Islam. Number one is qaraba. You have a responsibility and a duty to offer your condolences and express your participation in the other person's pain because of number one, qaraba, haqqul qaraba. It's like because they're close to you, family members, relatives, cousins. So because of this relationship of qaraba, of kinship, you have a duty and they have a right over you that you go and express your condolences and you console them. And also sadaqah, which is friendship, if you're a friend with somebody. And number three, Islam, just generally being a Muslim, they are Muslims, fine. You know, because of Islam, you have a duty and a responsibility and they have a right over you that you console them. Okay, which also, which does not mean that, you know, you can't go and offer your condolences to a non-Muslim. I will inshallah mention that. But here specifically, it becomes more important when somebody is close to you, somebody is a friend or somebody is a Muslim. So this is a sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, ta'zina, okay, ta'ziyah. And then the Shaykh says, وَإِنْ أَمْكَنَكَ تَشِيِّعُ الْمَيِّتِ إِلَى مَثْوَاهُ الْأَخِيرِ فَفْعَلْ فَإِنَّ لَكَ بِذَلِكَ أَجْرًا كَبِيرًا وَمَوْعِظَةً بَالِغَةً صَامِتَةً وَدَرْسًا يُعَرِّفُكَ وَيُذَكِّرُكَ بِالْمَصِيرِ الْمَحْتُومِ لِكُلِّ مَخْلُوقٍ. And if it's possible for you to accompany the deceased to his or her final destination, then do so. When it's possible for you to accompany the deceased to his or her final destination, then make sure you do it. Because in it, by doing so, you will receive great reward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What this means is that, okay, ta'ziyah is you are going to somebody's house, they have a family bereavement, somebody's passed away, somebody close to them, somebody's passed away, left this world, you offer your condolences, you express your condolences, you console them, okay? But the Shaykh says, additionally, if you're able, especially if you're a man and you're attending the funeral prayer, then do so. If you can accompany the deceased to the graveyard, to the grave, to the final destination, go to the graveyard, go for Salatul Janazah. It's an important duty, seriously. And as you know that according to the most scholars and fuqaha and jurists of this ummah, Salatul Janazah, the funeral prayer, is considered to be a obligation that is a collective obligation. It's fardu kifayatin. You see, we have two types of fard. We have fardu aynin and we have fardu kifayatin. Fardu ayn means a personal obligation, like the five time prayers. We all have to offer them. It's personally obligatory upon every individual. And we have certain obligations that are considered to be collective obligations, and they are called fardu kifaya, meaning if some individuals fulfill that obligation, the responsibility, then the responsibility is uplifted from everybody else. So Salatul Janazah is like that. Meaning, if in the community, if no one offers Salatul Janazah or the funeral prayer, then the whole community as a whole becomes sinful. However, if a few people go and fulfill that responsibility, then inshallah, this responsibility, this obligation is uplifted from everyone else. But we shouldn't take it for granted. Whenever we can, take time out. If we take time out for people and we accompany the deceased person, then inshallah, people will accompany our body when we pass away. Right? So there's great reward. The Shaykh says there's great reward. You know, ittiba'ul janayiz. There's a great reward. And there's a hadith coming anyway. So this is the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam of following the deceased to its final destination. Ta'ziyah is the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ta'ziyah is going to the house, consoling them, expressing your condolences. One point here, brothers and sisters, is that according to most of the scholars, ta'ziyah, when we go and visit someone to console them, is only permitted until 3 days. An extremely important ruling. Many of us overlook this, seriously. It's only for 3 days for those living within the same city. After the person passes away, only 3 days, okay, 3 full days, like 72 hours. After that, it is not permitted to go and visit them in a way that you are consoling them. It's not permissible to make ta'ziyah. If somebody lives outside the city and they are not able to come, then they can. Then there's a bit of flexibility. But within the city, people carry on going. You see, the point here is that Islam says don't mourn too much. 3 days, fine. A woman who's in her husband's passed away, she has 4 months, 10 days to observe her waiting period called iddah. But then after that, she needs to start forgetting as well. And everybody else, you see, when you go there, after the whole issue is that we need to try and make people forget. Okay? We need to try to make them forget later on. So only 3 days, ta'ziyah, is only for 3 days. And then after that, it's not permitted and it's not permissible to go. You know, like sometimes people, they've passed away. It's been like a month, 2 months, 3 months, and still people remind them. Don't remind them. Someone's mother's passed away and you say, oh, your mother was very nice. I know you were very close to your mother. You had a really good relationship with your mother. Your mother loved you, subhanAllah. You would have been wonderful. Just imagine if your mother would be around. Come on, don't you have any sense? You're not supposed to say that. We are supposed to say certain things. And there are etiquettes coming on the next page. What to say when we go for ta'ziyah. What are the kind of things we should discuss? And what are the kind of things we should not discuss, right? So, very important. Use your brain, use your intellect, use your wisdom and your, you know, intelligence, and say those things that are supposed to be said and avoid those matters that are supposed to be avoided. So the Shaykh says here that, look, go and offer your condolences, make ta'ziyah, and also if you can accompany the deceased to its final destination, then do it, because you'll get great reward, inshallah, you'll achieve great reward. And also, وَمَوْعِظَةً بَالِغَةً صَامِتَةً. By going to the graveyard, by accompanying the deceased person to its final destination, there's two benefits, the Shaykh is saying. Number one, you'll receive great reward. Great reward, because it's a sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You offer janazah prayer, there's reward in offering salatul janazah, you are making dua. There's great reward. But the second benefit is that it will be a very exhaustive and a silent nasiha and reminder for your own death, a stern admonition for your own death. You see, you know, visiting graves and visiting graveyards is a sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no doubt in that, and nobody disagrees with this. However, certain people have certain disagreements in terms of why you go to the graveyard, but there are many wisdoms and there are many reasons, okay? One of the reasons, and I'm not going to discuss those other wisdoms and the reasons why we go to graveyards, and some might be controversial, some not, but this one everybody agrees upon, and this is what the Shaykh is saying here, that when you go to the graveyard and you accompany the deceased person, one benefit, you will get the reward, but the second very important benefit is that you yourself will take admonition. It will be a lesson, it will be ibrah, it will be a lesson for you. And this has been taken from the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, قُنْتُ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ زِيَارَةِ الْقُبُورِ أَلَا فَزُّرُوهَا فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُكُمُ الْآخِرَةِ. I used to forbid you from visiting graveyards and graves, but now make sure you visit them, because they remind you of akhirah, of the next life. So visiting the graveyard, you know, reminds a person, from about their own death, right? It reminds the person about their own death. So this is one of the great benefits to go to the graveyard and offering, you know, accompanying the deceased to its final destination. So the Shaykh says here that this will be a great act of reward for you and a great benefit for you. We should try to go as much as possible. In terms of women going, a lot of people ask this question, and it's a kind of debated issue, but most people will say that, look, women should not be going, but women can go provided two conditions are met. Number one, there is no open, casual, free intermingling, which is difficult, especially janazah time, it's difficult. So they should not be going when there's like janazah time, when there's a lot of hustle, bustle, and a lot of men and everything, then it's difficult for women to go. And number two, the other reason because of which women, you know, had been like prohibited from going is because they were not able to control themselves. They were not able to, you know, withhold themselves. They were not able to exercise sabr and patience. And this is because of these two reasons. Many classical scholars, you know, like not permitted, and they forbade women from going to the graveyards. But some scholars say that, look, if these two conditions are taken care of, meaning you don't go in a time when there's open, casual, free mixing, intermingling, okay, you go properly observing the rules of hijab, and provided you are in a state of purity, and also that woman is able to control herself properly, thoroughly, then some scholars do say that yes, it is permitted, and inshallah, provided these conditions are met, it should be fine. But this is one of the benefit the Shaykh is saying here, that look, this is a right of a Muslim, right of qaraba, sadaqa, Islam. So he says, look, there's great reward for you, stern admonition, a quiet kind of nasiha for you. Seriously, you know, going to the graveyard, brothers and sisters, if you cannot take a lesson, if you don't take any nasiha from someone's death, then you will never take a nasiha and lesson from someone's death. Seriously. Going to the graveyard, you know, looking at the person, looking at, you know, the grave, looking at a body being lowered into the grave. And still, if we, some people, seriously, straight after that, they talk about, you know, some mobile phone contracts. Allahu Akbar. How can people do that? In the graveyard, talking about worldly matters, about business, it's like some people are digging and people are around the grave, and then somebody is talking, oh yeah, what happened? Did that business deal go through? Subhanallah. How can somebody talk about a business contract and a deal? It's like the person's going into his grave and you are talking about whether a business contract deal went through. Come on, you know, this is not a time to talk about business. Subhanallah. So it's a nasiha lesson, going to the graveyard. And you know, some of the scholars, brothers and sisters, they used to actually go and sleep at night between two graves. They used to go to a graveyard, and between two graves they used to go and just rest there for like 10 minutes. Just remember that they will one day have to be in this place. You know, some people used to make sure they dig a hole in the graveyard and you know, just go and rest there for a while. Just think and pondering and reflecting. And that's why from some scholars actually say it's recommended for people to meditate and do muraqabah. Like one time, just think, you know, look, close your eyes and think that, you know what, I am sleeping right now, there are people, I am on my deathbed, I am extremely ill and sick, and people are talking and I can't really talk back, and you know, my soul is now literally coming out, and now it's come out now, and I've just said the shahada, and people around me, some people are saying that, oh, I think he's passed out, he's passed away. Some people say, no, I think he's still breathing. Just think about it. That's happening around you, and then that's it. They said, oh yeah, he's gone now, he's dead. And then what they do is they remove your clothes, they give you a bath, they put you in the coffin, and now you've been taken, you've been placed in a coffin and into the car, and now you've gone to the, you know, graveyard, janaza prayer, you're right in front of the imam, and the angels are coming, and you are looking, talking to the angels, thinking about now they're taking you, now they're lowering you into the graveyard, and everything's dark, and they've placed all the soil in you, and it's all gone dark. Seriously, you know, I know it's a late time of night, and I don't want to scare you, but we have to think about this, brothers and sisters. Right? This is the reality of our life. This is the reality. We are all destined to go. We all have to go one day. We all have to go. And that's the reason why, you know, when we go to the graveyard, what is the dua we make? Antum assalamu alaykum ya ahl al-qubur. Antum as-sabiqun wa inna insha'allahu bikum lahiqun. We say greetings to you. You to the O people of the grave, assalamu alaykum to you. Antum as-sabiqun. You have preceded us. You've gone before us, and we will insha'Allah, by the will of Allah, follow you. You know, I remember once somebody said to me that, you know, this dua, I don't feel like saying insha'Allah. Can I say like, antum as-sabiqun, O people of the grave, you have gone, wa inna, and we probably become lahiqun. You know, we might just come behind you. I don't feel like saying inshallah. Brother, whether we like it or not, we all have to go. That's our final ultimate destination. This world is temporary. Kun fi dunya ka annaka ghareeb aw aabir sabeel. 50, 60 years of this life, and then we all have to go. Anyway, it's another topic, and we don't have time to go into that. But the Shaykh is explaining here that it's sunnah that you follow and accompany the deceased to its final destination. You'll receive great reward, and there's admonition in it. There's nasiha for you in there. وَدَرْسًا يُعَرِّفُكَ. And it's a dars, a lesson that will remind you and that will make you aware and remind you of the inevitable ultimate destination for every created thing, which is death. It will remind us of our death. And then he mentions a line of poetry. The line of poetry, one of the poets said, وَكَانَتْ فِي حَيَاتِكَ لِي عِظَاتٌ فَأَنْتَ الْيَوْمَ أَوْعَظُ مِنْكَ حَيَّا وَكَانَتْ فِي حَيَاتِكَ لِي عِظَاتٌ فَأَنْتَ الْيَوْمَ أَوْعَظُ مِنْكَ حَيَّا. Your life gave me many lessons. In your life, there were many lessons for me. However, today you, this poet is talking to the deceased person. He's saying to the dead person that your life gave me many lessons. I learned many things from you in your life. But today you, in this state, okay, you've given me the most important lesson today than when you were alive. SubhanAllah. فَأَنْتَ الْيَوْمَ Today you are أَوْعَظُ The lesson that you are imparting with today, then it's more important and more beneficial and more great than any of the lessons that I learned from your life. So, anyway, these are the important duties and responsibilities of a Muslim. Because of the relationship of qaraba and sadaqa and friendship and Islam, that we offer our condolences, we make ta'ziyah, which is the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's a hadith here which the Shaykh relates. He says, قَالَ سَيِّدُنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَقُّ الْمُسْلِمِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ خَمْسٌ رَدُّ السَّلَامِ وَعِيَادَةُ الْمَرِيضِ وَاتِّبَاعُ الْجَنَائِزِ رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِيُّ وَمُسْلِمْ Our master Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a Muslim has five rights over a Muslim, another Muslim, another believer. Raddu salam, replying, responding to the greeting salam, and visiting the ill and the sick. And number three is ittiba'ul janais, following, accompanying the deceased to its final destination, taking part and participating in the janazah, okay, which also includes ta'ziyah and expressing condolences. And there's another two more which the Shaykh has just pointed out by putting the dots, meaning until the end of the hadith. But the relevant part here, the makan al-shahid, the important part here is ittiba'ul janais, to prove. This is a hadith mentioned by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim in their respective sahih collections. وَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عُودُ الْمَرْضَى وَاتْبَعُ الْجَنَائِزِ تُذَكِّرُكُمُ الْآخِرَةِ رَوَاهُ الْإِمَامُ أَحْمَدُ Another hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, visit the sick and attend the funeral prayers, accompany the deceased body to its final destination. تُذَكِّرُكُمُ الْآخِرَةِ Because this will remind you of your death. تُذَكِّرُكُمُ الْآخِرَةِ This will remind you of your own death. It will remind you of آخِرَةِ تُذَكِّرُكُمُ الْآخِرَةِ عُودُ الْمَرْضَى وَاتْبَعُ الْجَنَائِزِ تُذَكِّرُكُمُ الْآخِرَةِ This is a hadith recorded by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad. So these are two hadiths that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam mentioned. And these are two hadiths which the Shaykh, the author, has quoted here to show the importance of expressing condolences and the sunnah of ta'ziyah. And I mentioned that, look, the Shaykh mentioned here that it is a right of a Muslim because of qaraba, because of close family links and relationship, that you offer your condolences, you make ta'ziyah, and sadaqah, friendship, and Islam. However, it's also still permitted, this does not mean that only Muslims have this right. It is without doubt even permitted to visit non-Muslims to offer condolences. This is an important point. There's nothing wrong. I mean, you'll find the books of fiqh, like in the Hanafi school of thought, there's a book called Al-Bahru Ra'iq. It's mentioned there clearly that one may offer condolences, one may attend the funeral of a non-Muslim from afar. One may visit non-Muslims to offer condolences for a family bereavement, etc. And then they also explain that, you know, when you go and offer condolences to a non-Muslim, what you should say is something like, may God compensate you with someone better, like with a Muslim, okay, who's because of the non-Muslim who's passed away. And also, you say something like, may God guide you to Islam, okay? So make du'as like that. So it's permitted. However, there's two things which are not permitted. Number one, it is not permissible to attend a religious ceremony. It's not permissible, it is not allowed to attend a religious funeral ceremony, okay? So we cannot take part. If you have a non-Muslim friend and you just go to their house and just visit them and console them and you know, make one or two like du'as such as, you know, may God guide you, may God compensate you with someone better, things like that, may your pain ease, you know, don't worry, you know, things like that, that's fine, it's not a problem. But it's not permissible to go to the church, for example, or to go to the temple, for example, and attend and take part and participate in the religious ceremony, then that's haram and unlawful and sinful. And also another thing which is not permitted is it is not allowed to make dua for a non-Muslim after their death. You know somebody's dead as a non-Muslim, it's not permissible to make dua for them. Okay? Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua for his father, and he was admonished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that look, don't make dua for them in the akhirah. Yes, it's permitted to make dua for a non-Muslim who is alive for their guidance. Okay? It's permissible to make dua for a non-Muslim who is alive to make for the guidance. Oh Allah, you know, please guide him to Islam. Please show him the right path. So that's okay and that's not a problem. So this was just a small brief introduction to this topic. Now the Sheikh mentioned certain etiquettes. We've learned how important it is and how it is a sunnah to offer our condolences and express our condolences and consoling people, inshallah. Now what are the rules and etiquettes when we go to visit somebody's house, when somebody's passed away? What should we say and what should we not say? These are very important issues in the next page or so that we need to learn. The Sheikh says, عند تعزيتك ومواساتك أخاك أو قريبك أو أحد معارفك بمصابه يستحب أن تدعو لأخيك الميت بمثل ما دعا سيدنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأبي سلمة رضي الله عنه حين توفي وعزى به أهله. When you visit and when you offer your condolences, when you go and console someone, when you make ta'ziyah of your friend, your relative, your brother, somebody close to you, somebody you know because of what they have been inflicted with, then it is recommended when you go there that you make dua for your deceased brother. That's one thing you need to go. When you go to somebody's house and they, for example, a father passed away, so you go there, and this is what we need to do. We need to make dua. We need to say, oh Allah, you know, mashallah, you know, I knew your father was such a wonder. First of all, praise. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in one hadith, اذكروا محاسن موتاكم. Mention the good qualities and the good traits and the attributes and the good character traits of your deceased people. Especially when somebody passes away, never talk about them negatively. Never mention the ills, even if you knew that they were an evil person. Now they've died. You make dua for them. So praise them. MashaAllah, he was such a wonderful person. Every time, you know, MashaAllah, when he mentions some good qualities, he used to always be there first in Fajr Salah. Or he would always be, you know, ready to give in charity. Or every time, MashaAllah, he was there to help people. MashaAllah, I'm sure Allah will forgive him. And Allah, forgive him and make dua. Oh Allah, forgive him. Allah, elevate his rank. Allah, elevate his status. Make dua for your deceased brother. Okay? So you are benefiting your, you know, the deceased by your visit as well. You're actually doing two things. You are visiting, consoling the person who you know, okay? That's a sunnah, and you are helping them to ease their pain. And at the same time, the one who's left this world, you are actually helping them as well. So you're helping two people here. So he says, make dua for them. Like the kind of dua, for example, which our master Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made for Abu Salama radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, when he passed away. And when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam consoled his family. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when Abu Salama radiallahu anhu passed away, right? He went to console his family, so he wa'azza, meaning ta'ziyah. He made ta'ziyah to his family, and he made dua for the deceased. And this is the dua he made, which the Shaykh is quoting here. What was the dua of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, اللهم اغفر لأبي سلمة وارفع درجته في المهديين واخلفه في عقبه في الغابرين أي كن له خليفة في ذريته الباقين من أسرته واغفر لنا وله يا رب العالمين وافسح له في قبره ونور له فيه رواه مسلم. Oh Allah, forgive Abu Salama. Oh Allah, forgive Abu Salama. Raise his rank in those who are guided. And be there for his family. Look after his family that he has left behind. You are making dua for the deceased and also those who are alive, consoling them, making dua for them. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. He said, وَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلَهُ يَا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Oh Allah, forgive us and him, O Lord of the worlds, يَا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. وَفْسَحْ لَهُ فِي قَبْرِهِ. And widen his grave, qabr. Make his grave spacious. And نَوِّرْ لَهُ فِيهِ. And illuminate and enlighten his grave, inshallah. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Rawahu Muslim. This is a hadith recorded by Imam Muslim. So that's one thing you need to do. When you go to somebody's house, when you do ta'ziyah, one etiquette is make dua. Make dua specifically for the deceased and make dua for the family, of for sabr for them. Allah give you sabr. And make dua for yourself as well. Of forgiveness. Allah forgive all of us. Then the Shaykh mentions one or two other etiquettes and adab. He says, وَيَحْسُنُ أَنْ يَكُونَ حَدِيثُكَ مَعَ الْمُعَزَّى فِيمَا يَتَّصِلُ بِتَخْفِيفِ وَقْعِ الْمُصِيبَةِ بِذِكْرِ أَجْرِهَا وَأَجْرِ الصَّبْرِ عَلَيْهَا وَأَنَّ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا فَانِيَةٌ مُنْقَضِيَةٌ وَأَنَّ الْآخِرَةَ هِيَ دَارُ الْقَرَارِ. And it's also good and recommended that your conversation with the one who is consoled, the Shaykh used the word here, مُعَزَّى from the word ta'ziyah, the one who's consoled. What kind of things should you talk about? This is what the Shaykh is saying. This is very important, brothers and sisters. Because sometimes we go to somebody's house to console them. We fulfill the sunnah of ta'ziyah. But rather than gaining reward, we come back with a sin. Because we've said things that harm them. We have done things that are unlawful. We don't really know what to say. Some people just go there and stay quiet, like completely, utterly, totally quiet. Yes, we need to not talk too much because it's a situation of sadness. But you don't just stay completely quiet. There are certain things that should be said and many things that should be avoided. So we need to learn what kind of things should we say. Sheikh says that your conversation with the one consoled should be in terms of or related to that which will lessen, which will mitigate and lessen and decrease the grief of the difficulty. It will lessen the pain, the musibah. Okay, not increase it. Sometimes we say things like, we remind them, this, that. You know, no, not like that. You have to say things that will lessen their pain. By what? By mentioning the ajr, the reward of a difficulty, of a calamity, and the reward of sabr and patience. Mention to them that, look, Allah, this is a purification. When a believer faces trials, tribulations, and tests and undergoes tests and examinations, then there's great reward. This is purification for you. There's a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ashadu al-nasi bala'an al-anbiya, thumma al-amthal, thumma al-amthal, thumma al-amthal fal-amthal." The ones who are tested the most are the prophets, then the ones closest to them, then the one closest to them. We undergo trials and tribulations, and there's great reward. Why? Allah wants to reward this person, right? Allah wants to forgive their sins. And that's why we say it's a form of purification. So that's one of the reasons. I actually did a very detailed talk on this once, overcoming trials, tribulations, and examinations. And it's available, the talk, on my website, daruliftar.com, which you can listen to. But that's why you need to mention that, look, you are undergoing this test. This is a means of you being rewarded, your rank being elevated, your status being elevated, your sins being purified. And mention the rewards of sabr, that look, in Allah ma'a sabireen, Allah is with the people of patience. There's great reward of sabr, inshallah. You have sabr, you will reap the rewards of sabr. The level you will reach by undergoing and exercising sabr and patience is unimaginable. Just imagine, بِغَيْرِ حِسَابِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابِ. Allah rewards those who exercise sabr in a way that's limitless, without any limit. There's no limit, there's no ending to the reward of sabr. These are the kind of things you need to tell the family. And then you say to them as well, وَأَنَّ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا فَانِيَةٌ مُنْقَضِيَةٌ وَأَنَّ الْآخِرَةَ هِيَ دَارُ الْقَرَارِ. And you say to them, these are things you're saying them in order to decrease their pain. Okay, so you've mentioned that, look, this difficult time you are being rewarded for it. Sabr, have sabr, you will be rewarded. And then mention to them that, look, your father's passed away, but that's the reality of this life. This dunya is faniya munqadiya. It's going to come to an end. It's just a small, short period of time. We all will ultimately go. Your father's gone today. Tomorrow I will be going. Tomorrow you will be going. Okay? وَأَنَّ الْآخِرَةَ هِيَ دَارُ الْقَرَارِ. And akhirah, and the next life, that's the everlasting abode. So don't worry. It's just a matter of another 10, 20 years, and then you'll meet up with your father or your mother. This is a very short period of time. It's like, you know, one sheikh once gave an example. He said there was a cupboard in a room, And there were shelves. So there were certain glasses, cups and plates and utensils on the top shelf, and the second shelf was empty. He took one glass from the top shelf and placed it on the shelf below. And then he said, you know, this one shelf has gone onto the, sorry, this one glass or cup has been taken and removed from the top shelf and has been placed on the bottom shelf, right? Now, the ones at the top are missing this cup. But after that, after 2 minutes, you take another glass and put it on the bottom shelf. The top one glass has joined. There's two glasses now on the second shelf. Imagine there were 10. Then you took the third one after 2 minutes. After 5 minutes, you took the fourth one. Ultimately, every 5 minutes, you kept on moving the glasses and the cups. And ultimately, within an hour or so, all 10 glasses will all be, rather being on the top shelf, they'll all be on the bottom shelf. That's the reality of this life. One person goes to the Akhirah. We shouldn't be too sad, okay? Because we are all following suit. That one person, that one glass has gone down, ultimately everybody will end up on the bottom shelf. Ultimately we will all end up in the next life. So don't worry. And this is why, remember, there's a hadith where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said something to his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha in her ear, whispered, she started crying, and then he whispered again, she started smiling and was happy. When she was asked, what did he say? He said the first time, he said, look, I'm going to leave you to the next life. And that, so I became upset. And then she mentioned that after the second time when she said something to me, he said that, don't worry, you will be joining me very, very soon. So I became happy and I was, you know, okay. So this is the reality of this life, that we will all be, inshallah, ultimately going, you know, to the next life. So these are the kind of things we need to mention to the deceased person. Then the Sheikh goes on and he mentions, وَيَحْسُنُ ذِكْرُ بَعْضِ الْآيَاتِ الْكَرِيمَةِ وَالْأَحَادِيثِ الشَّرِيفَةِ الْمُذَكِّرَةِ بِذَلِكِ وَذِكْرُ بَعْضِ الْكَلِمَاتِ الْبَلِيغَةِ لِبَعْضِ السَّلَفِ. And it's also good that what you say is that you mention certain verses of the Quran. When you go and visit someone, he's telling us what we should say and we should not say. It's good to mention some verses of the Quran, some of the hadiths of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that remind us in this regard, remind us of the reality of this life. You know, so these kind of things are very important. Okay, and some statements of the Salaf, some very, very intriguing and amazing statements of the Salaf, of the early scholars. And he gives an example. Now the next page is giving us examples of what should be said. He says, فَتَذْكُرُ مِثْلَ قَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون ومثل قوله. Okay, he says, like for example, you can mention this verse of the Quran. Which verse of the Quran? This one. This is an ayah, this is a verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, verses 155, 156, 157. Give glad tidings to those who exercise patience. Bashir al-Sabirin. Give glad tidings to those who exercise patience. Okay? And who are these people? الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ Those people who are afflicted with a calamity, when calamity befalls them, they say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Mention this verse to them. So when you go to console someone, you say, look, there's a great reward for those who exercise sabr and patience. And who are those people who exercise sabr? Are those when somebody passes away, for example, they say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. These people who have sabr, ulaika alayhim salawat, who have sabr, and say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Upon them descends the rahmah and the blessings of Allah from their Lord. Blessings descend from their Lord and mercy. And these are the people who are guided. You know, this verse or this phrase, brothers and sisters, we need to understand the reality of these kind of phrases. It's very important. We know, like, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, many kind of phrases these that we know, but we don't know the reality. We should try to understand the reality. Even if we don't know Arabic, these kind of phrases, we should try to get to the bottom of these phrases. Now, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Why do we recite that? What does it mean? What's the translation? Inna lillah, verily we belong to Allah. Okay? What does this mean? We say, verily we all belong to Allah. Allah created us. We are His creation. We are His milkiyah, His ownership. We are owned by Allah. Allah owns us. We are in His, you know, possession. Right? So therefore, when Allah owns us, we belong to Allah, then without a doubt, this difficulty, this calamity, this problem, this difficult situation will have some kind of benefit, some kind of wisdom in it. Something, there is some hidden benefit behind it. Because when we belong to Allah, either Allah wants to forgive our sins, He wants to purify us, He wants to avert some other greater difficulty, then there could be one or many reasons because of which Allah has afflicted us with this difficulty. We are supposed to say this whenever. The Quran says, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةً. Whenever people go through difficulty and musibah, they say this, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. So they say that, look, we belong to Allah. Allah gave us this. Allah owns us. And He has a right to, you know, afflict this difficulty upon us. And He knows best the wisdom behind it. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ. And then we say, وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And ultimately, we all will return to Allah. This is trying to say that, look, even though we are undergoing difficulty, hardship, trial, tribulation, test now in this world, but this world is very temporary. It's a short, small, short period of life. It's a very short time, okay? It's not, this difficulty will not be forever. Even if it's for all our lifetime, until we die, it stays with us. But still, it's just a matter of 20, 30, 40 years. Average lifespan now is like 50, 60. So, another 40 years. After that, inshallah, we return to Allah. وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We will return to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ultimately, this difficulty will be removed. And in the akhirah, inshallah, there's bliss, there's reward, there's peace, there's tranquility. Remember, brothers and sisters, Allah has created three kinds of worlds. There's Jannah, Jahannam, and this world. Jannah, paradise, is a place or an abode where there's no pain, no sorrow, no grief, no sadness, no difficulty, no problems, no calamity, no musibah, no trial, no tribulation. It's just bliss, pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. Jahannam, hellfire, on the other hand, it's the opposite. It's just pain, sadness, sorrow, punishment, pain, difficulty. Whereas this world is in the middle. We have the good and the bad here. إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Allah tests us. We have good things, we go through difficult times, we go through good times, the going gets tough sometimes. That's the reality of this life. And we need to remind ourselves and others, when people are undergoing difficulty, we need to remind them. Look, have sabr. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةً قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And Allah says in the Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. We will test you with hunger, with fear, شَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ, and the decreasing of your wealth. And then Allah says, give glad tidings to those who exercise sabr. With sabr, you get maximum rewards. And you know, brothers and sisters, sometimes calamity, as I said, is a source of blessings and rahmah. Musibah is a source of blessing and rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sometimes it's punishment, adab, seriously, because Allah says, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ. We will test you, we will make you taste a lesser kind of punishment in the dunya before the greater punishment in the akhirah. وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ. Now, the scholars have explained that how do we know whether a particular trial or calamity or musibah is a means of rahmah and mercy from Allah, purification of sins, or is it a punishment from Allah? How do we detect it? Scholars have explained that, look, when a person undergoes difficult situations, if their situation worsens, if they start complaining, you know, some people are like this, oh, was it only me that Allah had to test? Why do I only have problems? If they become more distant from their Lord, if they become more distant from God, then what happens? That is a sign that this is a punishment from Allah. May Allah save us all. May Allah save us all. Ameen. Seriously. However, if they exercise sabr, when they are tested, and they exercise sabr and patience, and they undergo patience, okay, they return to Allah. during a difficult time, they get more close to Allah. They cry to Allah, oh Allah, you're the only one who's going to help. This is a sign that this person is being showered by the blessings of Allah. This person is actually being purified from his sins, inshallah. So anyway, this is the verse that should be recited. We are talking about the etiquettes. When we go and console someone, we make ta'ziyah. When we go to their house, what should we say? What should not we should not say? So it's good to mention this ayah and give this kind of, you know, explanation to them that look, this is a short period of lifetime, inshallah. We all will go. You know, if somebody's passed away, we all have to go. And he's mentioned another two ayats, and I'll just mention them and then we'll just take the break. وَمِثْلَ قَوْلِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ. Like we should also mention a verse of the Quran, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul should taste death. وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Every person will taste death. This is a verse in Surah Al-Imran. And Allah says, وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. You will be given your full reward on the day of judgment. فَمَنْ زُحْزِهِ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ. Whoever is removed from the fire of hell and entered into Jannah will be successful. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And this life is nothing but a deception. It's just a deception. It's a very short period of time. And also, another verse which is good, recommended, وَمِثْلَ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى. And you could also say, example, another verse to say, the Sheikh says, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانٍ. All that which is on the earth will perish. فَانٍ. وَيَبَقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And only your Lord. Here the word wajh means your Lord, not face, because we don't take literal meanings of this. Only your Lord, the majestic and the noble Lord will remain. Everything's going to come to an end, so this world will come to an end as well, inshallah. So these are the kind of verses you mention, and then after that he's mentioned some hadith and some other things that we should say as etiquette when we go and console someone. We'll take a short break, and I'll, inshallah, mention them after the break, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome back, dear listeners, inshallah. For those of you who are wondering, you know, this, what I'm doing today is actually a continuation of the daily discussion that I do, the daily studying of a book that we had started on the second of Ramadan. Every day just before iftar, an hour or so before iftar, we have been studying the book Min Adab al-Islam of Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda al-Halabi rahimahullah. We've discussed many issues, and the book is actually coming to an end right now, and that's why I've taken this evening slot, so that we are able to complete this book, inshallah, in the next couple of days or so. We've discussed many things, and inshallah, I mean, every day just before iftar, we discuss this Islamic manners and Islamic etiquettes. So we are on the section of the etiquettes and the manners of expressing one's condolences and consoling a Muslim. And then after that, I want to move on to the next topic quickly, because it's actually very important. So we read just before the break, and we studied certain etiquettes, meaning that we should try to console the person in an appropriate manner. Some of the things we should say, the 2-3 verses of the Quran as an example the Shaykh used, like saying الَّذِينِ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, and all of that. Then the Shaykh says that there are other things that you can also mention when going to somebody's house for ta'ziyah and consoling them. There are certain hadiths and certain statements of the Salaf. So he says, وَتَذْكُرُ مِثْلَ قَوْلِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ اللَّهُمَّ أَجُرْنِي فِي مُصِيبَتِي وَخْلُفْ لِي خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمْ وَغَيْرُهُ. And also you could mention, for example, the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, اللَّهُمَّ أَجُرْنِي فِي مُصِيبَتِي. He used to make a dua, he used to supplicate. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would supplicate by saying, O Allah, reward me in my calamity. O Allah, reward me, give me ajr in my calamity, in my musibah. So by saying this, you are consoling the afflicted person that look, there is reward in musibah, in a time of a calamity. In a difficult time, there is ajr and reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So This is a dua the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make. Oh Allah, reward me in my calamity. And then somebody might think that, okay, you know, do we just carry on telling Allah, give me more calamities because I want more reward? So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam straight away, he said, oh Allah, despite this calamity, this difficulty, this trial being a source of reward for me, and source of thawab and ajr for me, and a means of purification of my sins. However, oh Allah, I cannot bear it. I cannot tolerate it. Hence, وَخْلُفْ لِي خَيْرًا مِنْهَا. Replace this good with another good. Subhanallah. This difficulty, this calamity that you have inflicted upon me, oh Allah, I am happy. And that's something that we need to have. رَضَى بِالْقَدَرِ. Be content with the destiny of Allah. We are not complaining. And this is what another message that you need to get through to your relatives when you're consoling. That look, don't complain. That the worst thing a person can do and say is that, why just me? Why just me? Why did somebody have to pass away? Look at the people who are much less fortunate to you in other areas of life. Okay? So we need to remind them of this message. And Allah, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua that, oh Allah, I am happy and content. This is without a doubt a source of rahmah and mercy for me, but I am a human being. وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. The human being is created weak. I cannot tolerate it. And so Allah replaced this good with another good which I am able to tolerate it. And make that also a means of reward for me. Hadith recorded by Imam Muslim and others. And then he says, وَمِثْلَ قَوْلِهِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا أَخَذَ وَلَهُ مَا أَعْطَى وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِيُّ وَمُسْلِمُ. Also you can say something like what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily to Allah belongs that which He takes. Verily, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا أَخَذَ. Whatever Allah has taken, it belongs to Allah. And it belongs to Allah that which He gives. You mention this hadith. Now look, Allah gave you a parent. Now Allah's taken that parent away from you. Allah borrowed you that parent. This was a gift Allah gave you for a short period of time. Now Allah has taken away that ni'mah and gift from you. It's like what Ummu Talha said to her husband, Abu Talha, which I was talking about today just before iftar. What did she say? Now what about if our neighbor borrows us something and then wishes to take it back? Can we complain? No. Likewise, Allah gave us a child. Allah's taken the child away. وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. Everything is written by Allah at a fixed and appointed time. Death was fixed. It's fixed. Right? رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِيُّ وَمُسْلِمُ. Bukhari and Muslim relate this hadith. ومثل قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في توديعه لابنه ابراهيم عليه السلام حين توفي ان العين تدمع والقلب يحزن ولا نقول الا ما يرضي ربنا وانا بفراقك يا ابراهيم لمحزونون رواه البخاري ومسلم. Also you can say something like what the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said when he was bidding farewell to his son Ibrahim alayhi salam when he passed away. When Ibrahim radiallahu anhu, the son of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he passed away, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Inna al-ayna tadma'." Verily, the eye becomes tearful. Tears do shed from the eye. There's nothing wrong in crying. It does not go against sabr and patience. If you don't cry at all, then there's something wrong with you. The heart is very hard. As human beings, we all cry. Wal-qalba yahzan. Heart does become sad. But we do not say anything except that which pleases our Lord. We do not complain. We are happy and content with the destiny of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّا بِفِرَاقِكَ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ لَمَحْزُونُونَ. And we, O Ibrahim, are sad due to your loss. Subhanallah. Amazing words of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim both relate in their Sahih collections. And then the Shaykh says, وَمِنَ الْمُنَاسِبِ أَن تَذْكُرَ مِنْ أَقْوَالِ السَّلَفِ فِي شَأْنِ التَّعْزِيَةِ وَتَهْوِينِ وَقْعِ الْمُصَابِ أَنَّ سَيِّدَنَا عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ كَانَ يَقُولُ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ يُقَالُ مَاتَ فُلَانٌ وَفُلَانٌ وَلَا بُدَّ مِنْ يَوْمٍ يُقَالُ فِيهِ مَاتَ عُمَرٌ. It's also appropriate that you mention some of the statements of the predecessors, the Salaf, in regards to consoling and lessening the pain of the affected person. Like, for example, he says, One of the statements is the statement of Sayyidina Umar. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, used to say, and this is an amazing statement, I love this statement. Sayyidina Umar used to say, كل يوم يقال مات فلان وفلان. Every day it is said, such and such person has passed away, such and such person has passed away. A day has to come in which it will be said, Umar has passed away. Remembering his own death. You know, when you go to the masjids, the mosques, brothers and sisters, we see all the time announcements being made. We hear them and we read daily on a regular basis. Such and such, fulan bin fulan, has passed away. Of this road, of this street, janazah prayer, funeral, salatul janazah, funeral prayer, will be at this time in the graveyard. One day, instead of that person's name, our name will be there. Okay, this is what Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to always mention. So this is also good to mention at a time of consoling. When you go to that kind of gathering, these are the kind of things the Shaykh is trying to tell us that we should say. Okay. And then he says, وَتَذْكُرَ قَوْلَ الْخَلِيفَةِ الرَّاشِدِ عُمَرَ بْنِ عَبْدِ الْعَزِيزِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ إِنَّ رَجُلًا لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ أَبِيهِ آدَمُ أَبٌ حَيٌّ لَعَرِيقٌ فِي الْمَوْتِ. Also, you might mention, you might want to state the statement of the rightly guided caliph, khalifa of Islam, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, you know Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz رضي الله عنه. He used to say, a man who does not have between him and his father Adam alayhi salam, between him and Sayyidina Adam, his great father, forefather, any person who's alive, then he is deeply rooted and fast approaching death. Umar bin Abdul Aziz, what does he say? That if you don't have anyone between you and Sayyidina Adam, meaning your father's passed away, your grandfather's passed away, there's nobody living right now between you and Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, then you are fast approaching your death. Fast approaching your death. Subhanallah. So that's something that reminds us of our death. That we all have to go. وَقَوْلَ التَّابِعِيِّ الْجَلِيلِ الْحَسَنِ الْبَصْرِيِّ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى يَا ابْنَ آدَمْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ أَيَّامٌ كُلَّمَا ذَهَبَ يَوْمٌ ذَهَبَ بَعْضُكَ. Also, you can mention the statement of the great Tabi'i, Al-Hasan al-Basri, radiyallahu anhu, rahimahullah, may Allah be pleased with him. You know Hasan al-Basri, famous Tabi'i, the student of a Sahabi. He said, O son of Adam, you are just a collection of days. Your life is just a collection of days. Innama anta ayyam. Kullama dhahaba yawmun dhahaba ba'duk. Whenever a day passes by from your life, a part of you goes. One day passes from your life, a part of you has passed. Because you are just a collection of certain days. وَقَوْلَهُ أَيْضًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَجْعَلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَاحَةً دُونَ الْجَنَّةِ. And Hassan al-Basri also said, verily Allah has not made peace for the believers other than Jannah. The final resting and peace for a believer is Jannah. This world, there's no peace in this world. الدُّنْيَا سِجْنُ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَجَنَّةُ الْكَافِرِ. This dunya, this world is a prison for a believer and a paradise for the non-believer. For a believer, Hassan al-Basri said, raha and peace for a believer is only in Jannah. So this is again reminding one another of death. وَقَوْلَ مَالِكِ بْنِ دِينَارٍ تِلْمِيذِ الْحَسَنِ الْبَصْرِيِّ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عُرْسُ الْمُتَّقِينَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And also, statement of Malik bin Dinar. Malik bin Dinar, who was a student of Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri radiyallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with both. What did Malik bin Dinar say? He said, عُرْسُ الْمُتَّقِينَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The wedding of those who feared Allah. The muttaqoon, the muttaqeen, their urs, their wedding night will be on the Day of Judgment. We are fasting. You know, brothers and sisters, this Ramadan, Eid is coming, but many scholars have said that for a believer and for the muttaqeen, ultimately their whole life is supposed to be spent in a state of fast, right? And their Eid is when they will pass away. That's when the Eid will come. That's the ultimate celebration. That's the wedding, and that's the Eid, and that's the celebration of those who fear Allah, who practice Islam. قال الشاعر, and then he's quoting a poet who said, وَإِنَّا لَنَفْرَحُ بِالْأَيَّامِ نَقْطَعُهَا وَكُلُّ يَوْمٍ مَضَى يُدْنِي مِنَ الْأَجَلِ وَإِنَّا لَنَفْرَحُ بِالْأَيَّامِ نَقْطَعُهَا وَكُلُّ يَوْمٍ مَضَى يُدْنِي مِنَ الْأَجَلِ We are happy, we are content. You know, we as human beings, we are content with those days that we are passing through. But we don't realize every day that passes by is making us get close and bringing us close to our death. We're happy, day comes, day in, day out, wake up, go to sleep. But every day is bringing the inevitable close to us. وَمِن لَطِيفِ الشَّعْرِ الَّذِي قِيلَ فِي حَالِ التَّعْزِيَةِ قَوْلُ الْقَائِلِ He says there's a very wise kind of poetry which was said when consoling people at the time of ta'ziyah. And the poet said, this is actually greatly recommended at the time of ta'ziyah, when you go and console someone and express your condolences. إِنَّا نُعَزِّيكَ لَأَنَّ عَلَى ثِقَةٍ من الحياة ولكن سنة الدين فما المعزى بباق بعد ميته ولا المعزي وإن عاش إلى حين سبحان الله wonderful إنا نعزيك we are making ta'ziyah we are visiting you we are consoling you we are expressing our condolences oh brother not because we are على ثقة because we trust the fact or because we are so confident that we will live forever ever Not because we are confident of life, so we go and we are consoling you that that's your problem, or sorry, you know, sorry, we are just being very, very sorry, you know, that some your close one has passed away. Okay, so we are just sorry because you have undergone this, and we are very confident. We are full of life. Our family is full of life. Not because of that. The only reason we are consoling you is because it's a sunnah of deen. It's a sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. إِنَّا نُعَزِّيكَ لَا أَنَّ عَلَى ثِقَةٍ من الحياة ولكن سنة الدين. The second line is فما المعزى بباق بعد ميته. The one who's consoled, meaning you, will not remain after this person who has died. And neither المعزي. We have two words here. المعزى and المعزي. المعزى is the one who's consoled, the one whom you are visiting as تعزية. And you, the one who is a visitor, is called a معزي. So neither the mu'azza, the consoled, and neither the mu'azzi, the one who is consoling, will live forever, will live after this person who has died, even if they live until a short period of time. Even if they live for another 20 years, but nobody's going to live forever. Today it's him, today it's you, today it's him, tomorrow it'll be you, and the day after it will be me. Right? So we all remember death, and these are the kind of things we should discuss. And then the Shaykh mentions two more lines of poetry. He says, وَمِن لَطِيفِ مَا يُنَاسِبُ الْمَقَامَ قَوْلُ الْقَائِلِ Also, something very recommended to say at this time is the saying of the poet, نَمُوتُ وَنَحْيَا كُلَّ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ وَلَا بُدَّ مِنْ يَوْمٍ نَمُوتُ وَلَا نَحْيَا نَمُوتُ وَنَحْيَا كُلَّ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ وَلَا بُدَّ مِنْ يَوْمٍ نَمُوتُ وَلَا نَحْيَا We die and we will become alive. Every day and every night. We die and we live every day, every night. What the poet is saying here, every night when we go to sleep, we die. This is from the Quran. We die. We die at night. And then we wake up, we are alive again. Seriously. It's death at night. Some people wake up, some people die and they don't come back to this life. They wake up in the next life, and some people wake up into this life and become alive again. So we die and we live every day and every night. A day has to come. وَلَا بُدَّ مِنْ يَوْمٍ A day will have to come when we will die, but we will not become alive again in this life. Okay? وَقَوْلُ آخَرَ وَقَدْ صَوَّرَ الْحَيَاةَ وَالْغَفْلَةَ عَنْ نِهَايَتِهَا صُورَةً صَادِقَةً And also the statement of another poet who described صَوَّرَ He pictured, subhanAllah, this poetry. This line is describing, picturing the life of a human being and picturing the ghafla, the heedlessness and the neglect people undergo in terms of the ending of one's life and paints a very true picture of the reality of this life. What does the poet say? وَإِنَّا لَفِي الدُّنْيَا كَرَكْبِ سَفِينَةٍ نُظَنُّ وُقُوفًا وَالزَّمَانُ بِنَا يَجْرِي وَإِنَّا لَفِي الدُّنْيَا كَرَكْبِ سَفِينَةٍ نظن وقوفا والزمان بنا يجري. We in this world are like we are traveling on a ship. We consider and we think ourselves to be at a standstill. However, time is flying and taking us very fast. SubhanAllah, it's like a picture. It's like, you know, what this poet is saying, that we are traveling in a ship. Remember, in those days, they used to have ships. We can maybe change this into a ta'ira, a plane. You know, when you are in a plane, you don't even realize how fast, at what speed we are traveling. Thousands of miles per hour. I don't know how many miles per hour. How is it 600-700 miles per hour, 800 miles per hour in the plane? But we are eating, walking, going to the washroom, to the toilet, all sorts of things. We don't even realize how fast we are traveling. Unless you get some air turbulence, right? If you get some air turbulence, then you'll know. Otherwise, you don't even realize. It's like you're probably sitting in a room, seriously. And if there's no air turbulence, you're just sitting in a room. But the reality is that you are traveling at a speed. So the poet is saying here that we are traveling. We are like really fast, 100,000 miles per hour. We are going to our death. We are going to the next life. But we think ourselves to be at a standstill. وَالزَّمَانُ بِنَا يَجْرِي. Anyway, he ends with these quotes, etc. The Shaykh, the author of this book. And then he mentions the last paragraph, few lines. And then moves on to the next topic, which inshallah we'll move on to in the next hour. He says, وَدَعَانِي إِلَى ذِكْرِ هَذِهِ الْأَقْوَالِ الْكَرِيمَةِ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ وَالْأَحَادِيثِ وَمَا بَعْدَهَا التي يلائم التحدث بها في حال التعزية أني شاهدت بعض الأفراد يتناولون في خلال التعزية للمصاب بفقد قريب أو حبيب حديثا ناشزة عن الحال التي عليها المعزى المكلوم القلب مما يستثقل ظله وتنفر منه الطبيعة الحزينة وهذا خلاف الذوق والأدب في الإسلام. He says the reason why I've quoted all these verses of the Quran and all these hadiths and many of these statements and mentioned in detail what should be said when you go to somebody's house for ta'ziyah. He says the reason is because I have seen some people that they talk about all sorts of stuff. يَتَنَاوَلُونَ فِي خِلَالِ التَّعْزِيَةِ. You know, whilst going to the ta'ziyah, when you're going to console the affected person, they talk about all sorts of stuff. Inappropriate conversation, far away from the situation that people are in, far away from the situation upon which this person whom you are consoling, whose heart is mourning, is in anxiety, he is at pain, okay? Far away from that. You are talking about some other things, and this is very important. As I said, sometimes we go to gain reward, we try to fulfill the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we want to console someone, and people are making jokes. Seriously, I've been to certain places where people are sitting there and it's like them cracking jokes, messing around, talking about the world, talking about some business, you know, contract. Or, you know, nowadays, you know, petrol prices have gone really high. Talking about global warming, maybe. Or maybe talking about greenhouse, you know, or whatever. Talking about mobile phone contracts. Electricity bills have gone very high. Talking about politics. Seriously, some people talk about politics. You've got to do ta'ziyah. And you're talking about politics. You're talking about whether Barack Obama is going to win or whether it's McCain. SubhanAllah, this person has left the world. You're consoling someone. These are the kind of things you need to talk about, not about everything and anything else. So he says that this is the reason why I've gone into extreme detail. We talk about all the issues of the world. We joke around, which is wrong. He says, this will actually make the pain increased. It will burden the person who you're trying to console. Okay? The reason why you came was to lessen his pain, to take part in his pain and his grief. And now, rather than that, you're actually increasing his pain. You're not doing nothing to benefit this person whom you are trying to console. And he says here that, you know, a person who is, he might not say anything, but he's sad. He's lost someone. She has lost someone in the family. And they will have nafra. They will hate this kind of conversation. And he says, وَهَذَا خِلَافُ الذَّوْقِ وَالْأَدَبِ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. This goes against the spirit and the etiquette of Islam. This goes against the adab of Islam. You know, this book is called Min Adab al-Islam. This is against, this is contrary to the adab in Islam, inshallah. So this, we come to the end of this topic, inshallah. We move on to the next topic, inshallah, which is about some manners of conversation, which are very important, which I will, inshallah, talk about and come back, inshallah, just very soon, inshallah.